your Bibles, if you would open up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. And, I believe in my heart of hearts that one of the chief struggles of the American Evangelical Church, generally speaking now, continues to be an attitude of complacency. What I mean by that in particular is complacency about our responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. I said before when we played the Franklin Graham clip that I really believe our country is at a crossroads, a pivotal time in our history. And I say that, adding to that, that even though these are difficult times, I believe this is the best time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll go into that in a minute. But I want you to remember the initial problem that Paul addressed in both of these letters was the complacency and the laziness of some of the people in the churches in Thessalonica because they expected Jesus to come back any day, right? You remember that. So their mentality was, if Jesus is coming back any day, then I don't have to work, right? Why do anything? Because, hey, he's coming back. And Paul is saying, no, you got it all wrong. First of all, no one knows when he's coming. He is coming, but nobody knows the time and the date except for the Father. That's what Jesus said. And then he says, but in the meantime, while we wait for our Master, our Lord, to come back, we are to be found faithful doing whose work? His. And not only, but part of doing his work is to do our work, to put food on the table, to do honest work. So all of that is entailed in here, and that context is important. I really believe one of the weapons that Satan uses on followers of Christ is to tempt them to be complacent. Right? It's okay just to do enough to get by. How many of you have had positions in the past where you have been the boss? And raise your hand. Okay. How much did productivity go down when you weren't there? Right? Okay. Well, you know, when the boss is away, the people play. But when the boss comes back again, then, you know, people start working again. And, you know, I really believe that Satan, one of his weapons is to try to make believers complacent. I use the term fat, dumb, and happy. Okay? In fact, if any of you have ever read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, that was one of the themes of the book. He says to Wormwood, his protege, the demon in training, listen, those Christians, just get them to a place where they're happy, and they'll become lazy. And he's right. He's right. And it can happen so easily. And we become ineffective for the kingdom of God. One of the things that I think we forget is that when we received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our salvation was free. We know that. Jesus paid it all on the cross for us. We didn't have to work or earn for our salvation. Jesus did it all on the cross. All we needed to do was repent and believe that he went for me on the cross. That was free. But the moment that the Spirit of God indwelled our lives, at the moment we believe, we now have new responsibilities. Why? Because we have a new master. Isn't that true? We're under new ownership. How many of you, when you were young, some of you are still young, but when you were young, how many of you were so anxious to get to your 17th birthday so you could drive? That was kind of like a rite of passage, right? But with driving comes what? A lot of responsibility. You may pass the driver's test, but somewhere along the line, and I think it happens when you're driving around and you see your first major accident and you're behind a wheel, and you realize how much responsibility it is to have that license. Isn't that true? Our freedom in Christ, our salvation in Christ, our forgiveness in Christ is all free. However, it brings responsibility with us. That response, part of that responsibility is to live in a way that glorifies Him. Isn't that true? All right? So, I want you to listen to this. As Christ followers, we are accountable to Christ for what we do with the gift of the gospel. Does that make sense? He entrusts us with the good news of who He is and what He's done for us. And our responsibility is that we are going to be accountable to Him for what we do with that gospel. The gospel was never meant to be private. This was a big problem, and some of you who have been in church for a while know this, because some years ago we had the mentality, okay, you know, I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That's a private thing. Yeah, it is a private thing. But we were never meant to monopolize or hold on to the gospel. It was always meant to share. It was always meant to share. Jesus says, well, actually, Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who's commissioned to do what? What's an ambassador do? Represent, speak for the one who sent him. In fact, a true and a good ambassador will never say anything more or less than the message his boss gives him. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are commissioned by Christ to be his ambassadors, and this is our responsibility to Christ. Again, salvation is a free gift. However, at the moment we are saved, we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That brings responsibilities. I understand for a long time, not only recently, but for a long time, that word responsibility has been a bad word. We don't like responsibility. In fact, we'd rather blame others for the problems that we create. Or we blame others for the mistakes we make. No, we have responsibility. In 2 Thessalonians 2, I want you to follow with me. I don't know how far we'll get on this today, but follow with me. Paul tells us about some responsibilities of what it means to be a Christ follower. Now, I want to underline this because in the American church especially, and this transition started to happen in the 60s or so, Protestant churches hire pastors. And they hire pastors to shepherd, to preach, to minister to others. But we forget that part of that job description biblically is that we are to equip you to do the same thing. We are, according to your gifts, we are to equip you. In other words, another way of saying this is the pastor isn't the only evangelist in the congregation. You don't have to be gifted as an evangelist to share the gospel. We are all responsible for sharing the gospel in love with other people. What does that mean? At the very least, it means telling your own story. How did you come to Christ? And being very bold about it in a loving way. And so, here's what Paul says. He says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us. When I hear people saying, pray for us, or pray for me, that to me is a key, because that means Paul knows, as we should realize, that in order to carry out these responsibilities, you and I cannot do it on our own. We can't. We need intercessors. You know what intercessors are? That's other people praying for the same thing. So we need people praying for us that the message of the Lord may what? Spread? How? And be what? Just as it was with you, Paul says. I want you to notice in there that we need to be humble enough to pray and ask for prayer. For God's help and the Spirit's help in doing this. The verb that he uses here, pray for us, in the original language it means, I want you to pray, but keep on praying. Right? Pray, but keep on praying. And then he goes on to say, he goes on to say, I want you to pray for a very specific thing, that the message of the Lord, the gospel, the word of God, may spread rapidly. That idiom that's used in there, spread rapidly, is used of athletes and runners. It means just as you would give a runner a baton, pray that he runs quickly or she runs quickly. This is an athletic metaphor because, listen, you know, we're giving you permission to be on social media during the service, and I hope it's related to the service. But we're giving you permission to do that and tweet about the service. But you realize in Paul's day, they didn't have anything like that. You realize in Paul's day, they didn't have newspapers. In Paul's day, they didn't have television or radio. In Paul's day, all they had was word of mouth. But we cannot run the race without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why prayer is so important. And prayer is one of the hallmarks, by the way, of Christian fellowship. One of the greatest privileges we have, I believe, is that we can ask each other to pray. We can ask each other to pray. What a privilege. What a privilege. Look where he goes from here. Well, before I go on, the word of God needs to race through the area. How many towns we have represented here? We have Forked River for sure. Toms River, Bayville, Ware Town, Barnegat, all right, Beechwood. What other towns? Did I miss any? Yeah, it's, all right, that's Lacey. That's, you know, that's all Lacey. Nobody knows where Ware Town is either, so we have to understand that these are our areas. Our prayer for one another is that the message should be running through the areas where we live. I am all for missions. I believe that churches should be sending missionaries to countries, but listen to me, if we're not doing missions where we live, we're not doing missions. And that model starts from where we are and then goes out from there. This is our mission field, first of all. And then as we expand and we're able to go overseas or wherever God would lead us. Now, we cannot run the race without God. We know that. One of the things that I went through over this year was, the last 2 years, we bought a 30-inch blow-up kiddie pool, right? It's got a filter on it. Somehow, when I put it up again this spring, it had a hole in it, and it drained in a week, so we got another one. But here's what happens in days like today. I assure you that when I go home today after 6 inches of rain, that pool's going to be overflowing, right? Now, listen. No matter how high the walls of a pool or how deep a pool could be, after a certain amount of rain, it has to overflow. Isn't that correct? Has to. What happens to the water when it overflows? It goes all over the place. And it goes fast. It'll go all over the place fast. When the Church of Jesus Christ is overflowing with the grace of God, the love of Christ, when it's overflowing with the Word of God and the good news of God, there could be no containing it. There could be no containing it. I don't care what's happening in our culture. I don't care what's happening politically. I don't care what the latest threats are or anything like that. Nothing will be able ever to contain the Word of God when we are obedient to Him and walking with Him. In fact, this is not a new thought with Paul. Joe, you're better able to do this than I can. Can you put up Psalm 147? Psalm 147, there's a verse in there that says, He sends His command or His word to the earth. His word runs how? Swiftly. If you lived on Lakeside Drive South, where I am this morning, and you saw those rains, that water was running swiftly. It was fast. And so this is the picture of how God's word should spread. Why in the world would we keep the best message in the universe a secret? Why in the world would we be so silent about it? The theologians of old used to put it this way. They would say, stop gossiping about each other. Start gossiping about Jesus. If I told you a juicy bit of gossip about someone here, which I will not do, I guarantee you, by the time I make it home, it's spread like wildfire. I guarantee it. There was a study done by a PhD that just traces this whole process on unholy gossip. Why not for the gospel? Why not for the gospel? You know, many cities and towns have adopted a slogan that it's easy to remember if you should see a suspicious package or a suspicious person, right? You know what it is? If you see someone or something, say something. If you see something, say something. Well, why not adopt for us a slogan, if you know Jesus? Say something. If you know Jesus, say something. Say it in love. Build relationships. Many times you have to earn that right to share it. Build relationships as we show concern and love for people. But if you know Jesus, say something. Say something. Okay, can you go back to where it was, Joe? I want you to follow this. It says, going on, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. You know what that means? That means the gospel isn't popular. It isn't, is it? It's not a popular thing these days. Generally speaking, the cross is not popular, and I'll tell you why. Because when we're faced with the cross and what Jesus did for us, we're faced with we come face to face with our pride. Because the gospel in itself says there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. Nothing that we can do. And so we said, what do you mean there's nothing? You know, I don't cheat on my wife. I haven't killed anybody. You know, I don't steal. I don't do. I mean, there's plenty I can. No, there's nothing we can do. Isaiah puts it this way. Our best works are like filthy rags before the holiness of God. Jesus had to do it all. And so the gospel is impossible. There will always be pushback on the gospel. Isn't that true? You see pushback all the time, every day. Franklin Graham, as he has gone across the country and prayed on the steps of Capitol, has gotten pushback. You know what I mean by pushback? Pushback means he's gotten grief. And in some cases, people tried to stop him legally. Okay? There's always going to be obstacles. Why will there be obstacles? Because, listen to me, Satan's alive and well, and there's enough sinfulness in people without Satan where there's opposition to the gospel. But having said that, you need to know, and maybe you were there too, that I was one of the biggest opposers to the gospel when I first heard it. So even though there's opposition, shouldn't keep us or discourage us from sharing in love the good news of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes the ones that push back the most are the ones who come. There's going to be opposition. Paul prays for protection. I was at the intersection of Lakeside Drive South and Route 9, turning north. We had to go to Staples to buy ink. Mary Lou was with me. And a young lady, maybe 20 years old, maybe a little older, pulls up in a SUV type thing. And on the back of her SUV, the back window, was a gesture of a finger. Okay? And I looked at it and I said, how is it that we've come to a point where, generally speaking, that's not offensive? And yet, if you put a cross up, it becomes offensive. Now listen to me, I want to be very clear about this. That young lady needs to know Jesus. All right? That young lady needs to know Jesus, just like I needed to know Jesus. However, if we continue in our complacency, generally speaking, with the gospel, that young lady may never hear about Jesus. To replace that finger with a cross. How great would that be? And only God can do that. And so, the gospel can be offensive, but that shouldn't stop us. It's not popular in our culture now. It shouldn't stop us. It says we are helpless. The cross says we are in need of a Savior, that we can't be right with God without the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so, how do we go? We go not based on our own abilities. We don't go based on our own confidence. We go forth from here based on the fact that what? The Lord is what? Faithful. Let's say it like you're alive. The Lord is what?
Faithful.
And he will what? And what? From who? Okay. We go forth in his confidence. And look at what he says in verse 4. We have, what's the word? In the Lord, that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. He's talking to the Thessalonians. What he's saying there is to the Thessalonians is, you've been obedient. You've been following what God wants you to do. And we're confident you'll continue to do that. Just don't get lazy about sharing the gospel. Don't get lazy about doing the work God has called you to do. Don't get lazy. I want to just go over real quick a few concepts here with you. How many of you have been a Christ follower for more than 5 years? Raise your hand. Okay, more than 10 years. More than 15 years. More than 20 years. Let me tell you the progression that happens. Usually, The more years you have been following Christ, the less you have of unbelieving friends. Isn't that true? That's the worst thing in the world that could happen. That's the worst thing in the world. We need to be in the world, but not of it, right? Remember those words? We need to be building relationships with people who don't know Christ. We need to be loving them. We need to be building those bridges so we earn the right to share the gospel with them. But we need to be their friends, whether or not they ever give us the right to share. But what happens over a period of time is we tend to stay in our holy huddles, right? Because we We feel safe in those things. Now, that's good for fellowship, and it has its purpose. However, we're called to go out and say something. The basis for our confidence is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He keeps his promises. The gospel is God's message to the world. It is not our invention. One of the great things I can tell people when I share the gospel with them is this is not something I made up. Isn't that nice? This is not something I made up. This is something God revealed to me and says in his word. I'm not inventing this. He will strengthen us to bear up under the challenges. God sees the bigger picture. God wants us to be a part of his bigger purpose. If you want to see the millennial generation and even the generation that's coming up after them get involved, convince them, mentor them that they can be part of a story bigger than themselves and they'll climb on board. They'll climb on board. How do I know that? Because I've interviewed a lot of them. I know that they don't want to be part of a church that does nothing. I know they want to be part of a church that's going to make a difference in the community. I know they want to be part of a church where they can make a difference for good in the community. I know that. But they're not going to do it without our mentoring them and building relationships with them. Because they can be our best ambassadors. He will protect us from the evil one. That doesn't mean that we won't suffer. Because I hate to tell you this, but the gospel tends to spread more when the church is suffering. Historically, that's a fact. The gospel doesn't spread as fast when the church is affluent. God sees the bigger picture. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and perseverance. That's key. First of all, in order for us to share the gospel of Christ, we have to have something to share, correct? We have to know Christ personally. Not only do we have to know Christ personally, but we have to be, how can I say this? We have to be walking in obedience with God in order to have our words mean anything. Short way of saying it, make sure your walk matches your talk. Otherwise, we have no credibility. As I told you about the millennials can spot a phony from a mile away. They can sniff a phony out. If the words don't match the walk, there's no credibility. Make sure the words match the walk. If we're not living for the glory of Jesus Christ, we really have nothing to share. If we're not living in obedience, we really have nothing to share. And please don't get in the mindset that many believers get into. Well, I can do this. You know, God will understand. It may not be exactly what he wants me to do. No, God doesn't understand that. Okay? Once we depart from his direction, once we depart from his word, the Bible calls that sin. You can sugarcoat it any way you want. But the Bible calls it sin. Now, none of us are perfect. The key is when we sin, we confess it, right? We repent of it, we confess it, and we say, I blew it. Listen to me. None of us here is perfect. And if we want to gain credibility with our younger people, we better be transparent enough, appropriately so, that when we blow it, we can say to them, look, I shouldn't have done what I did. I am sorry. It was wrong. Would you forgive me? And now they'll listen. And it's not only for our young people, it's for the people out there too. Because the people out there don't want anybody who seems holier than thou. The people out there want real people who are saved by grace, who are struggling through life, but are doing it with the help of God. That's what they want to know. The Lord direct our heart into God's love, because the more we love God, the more we'll love people. And Christ's perseverance, because this is not a milk run. It's been said well that Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. And I want to change that. I would say Christianity is for the faint-hearted, but perseverance will come through the strength of Christ as we're obedient to Him. So, what's our responsibilities? Let me kind of capsulize this for you. I think this is a challenge. It is our responsibility to pray for each other that the Word of God would race through this area. Lacey, Bayville, and Ware Town, I can't speak for the other towns because I don't know the statistics. We have one of the worst heroin problems in the country. Do we need to pray? The only one that can break the heroin habit is the love of Jesus Christ. As paperwork up on that bulletin board from Grace's place, they're undergoing some changes. And one of the changes that they're undergoing is that they're not getting as many applications in from pregnant girls who need the help. And the guess is that the reason why there's not that many pregnant girls now is not because kids have stopped having sex. It's because they have better access to birth control. It still doesn't make it right, does it? We need to pray in our communities that the message would run like wildfire. Joey, if you bring up Matthew 5 for me. See it there? Matthew 5. Remember we read this? But you are salt of the earth. We live in a bitter world, don't we? We are the salt. Go to the next slide. You are what? Of where? Why would we put that under a bowl? That light is meant to shine and attract others to Jesus Christ. Next slide. In the same way, let the pastor's light shine. Let your light shine before others, that they may see what? Good deeds. That means they can see your life as you follow Christ and glorify your Father in heaven, so you earn the right to share the gospel of that, with them. It is our responsibility to pray that God would prepare hearts to receive the message. Only the Spirit of God can prepare a heart to receive the word. It is our responsibility to pray that those who hear will receive Christ by faith. It is our responsibility to confidently and lovingly go out into our world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you a story of a missionary. He's a missionary now. And this is for those of us who have been around for a while, you know this guy. His name is Tim Monahan. And Tim Monahan has been for years a missionary to Naples, Italy, he and his wife. But before Tim Monahan went off to Moody Bible School and then Denver Seminary, he was in Ocean County College, I believe, Ocean County College, in a frat house. And this pastor who was in the area back then by the name of Ken Kirby was out in Jackson, and he just felt led to stop in the frat house. Now listen to me. Frat houses aren't known for openly receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he stopped in this frat house. And his first encounter with Tim Tim told him that he had to leave, and if he wasn't going to leave, he was going to make him leave. So he left, but he came back again, and he started building a relationship with Tim, with another man called Ed Tafalowski, who some of you know. And he started building a relationship and started to earn the right to share the gospel with them. Both Tim and Ed come to know Christ. The ones who resisted the most. Ed's pastoring. He's in his 35th year out in Littleton, Colorado. And Tim just came off the mission field to teach in New York, to teach missionaries in New York. And he was on the mission field for 30 years. I would probably have been voted the least likely ever to come to Christ. But thank God someone took the time to share and love me and keep sharing and love me. How about us? There's a whole world out there that needs you. It's a whole world. There's a whole world out there who's hurting. There's a whole world out there who wants to know we're real people. And we should build that relationship. And then when God opens up the opportunity to share, never quit. Never quit. Because you know, for some people, it takes years. Isn't that right? Very rarely anymore will somebody come to Christ on the first presentation of it. Sometimes it takes years. For me and for Mary Lou, it was a year and a half. For some others, it could be 5 years, 10 years. For some others, you never know. You can present, share the word of God with somebody, the gospel, and you may not see them again. It's just one of those encounters. And when we get to heaven, I think we're going to have some surprises. You never know. If you know Christ, say something. It's as simple as that. If that's what I leave you with today, just take that with you. If you know Christ, say something. But in saying that, make sure our lives are reflecting the glory of God. We're walking in obedience, not perfectly, but we're walking in obedience. Make sure we're loving people, not just for the sake of the gospel, but because they're people and Jesus loves them. Amen. 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 You have to praise